God, we thank you that a righteousness has been made known apart from the law. Thank you that Jesus fulfills your law, your righteousness, your goodness, your love. And so that in Jesus we have all we need. So show us the way to the one who is the Word, the one who is the light, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. It's a dangerous thing, isn't it, if you are a carrier of a virus but don't know it? In the news, there's been a little bit about a virus lately, has there not? And those who are suspected are brought into quarantine, very clear protocols. And I was thinking as I was preparing this week, and I was reading really the scriptures through this sort of understanding. I then sat down at my computer. I was supposed to take a course this week. And so I thought, well, part of it I could do at home. And I booted up my computer. That was just fine. I visited the website, but I was unable to run the course because my computer is old and it needed certain drivers. And then I couldn't remember my administrator's password. Have you been in that place before? And it was a huge frustration, right? Our computer is old, and not only old, but it's slow. It is so slow. I forget what I'm there for. It's so slow. And so I was thinking about viruses and operating systems and that sort of thing. So that's where I'm coming from this morning to sort of see the scriptures in light of these realities that I deal with in present day, and perhaps you do as well. I hear the prophet Isaiah giving a message to the nation Israel, basically saying, you're infected and you don't know it. You're going about life as though nothing was wrong, and you wonder why things aren't working out the way they used to. He says to the prophet, announce to my people their rebellion and to the house of Jacob their sins. Let them know. In a sense, let them have it, but it's a warning out of love. And prophets had a tough job because often they were supposed to give a message to people who didn't think anything was wrong. The job description of a prophet is not one that anyone would seek. And so the prophet says this, and it's an interesting sort of rhythm that's established. Day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways. As if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. As if they're righteous people. Everything's cool in their relationship with God. They ask me for righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. And then they ask, why do we fast but you do not see? Why do we humble ourselves but you do not notice? As if to say, why is this not working for us the way it used to? Have you had that experience? Something's just not working anymore. Maybe it's your golf swing. It's like, where did my golf swing go? Or maybe it's a discipline that you've had. Perhaps you've noticed that you're gaining some weight and you're huffing and puffing in a way that you didn't used to. Not when you were 12 or 13 anyway. Why isn't this working anymore? And you realize, oh boy, maybe I need to do something about this. But if you're not aware, if you're not conscious that things are not the way they might be or should be, then really there's no motivation to change whatsoever. And God brings the prophets to motivate people to change. That's my understanding. Why is it not working the way it used to? We used to fast and we could experience your presence. We used to humble ourselves and we used to feel your nearness. What's happening? And perhaps you're in a stage of life where what used to work doesn't work. Some people carry guilt that their sort of devotional time with God doesn't really do anything anymore. I've been reading Daily Bread for 32 years, and it's just not really happening for me anymore. Well, friends, that's a good sign. If you've been doing the Daily Bread, move on to something more substantial. It's become the daily cracker for you. It's not enough. Move on to something more substantial in your devotional life, in your Bible study. And if you need resources, stick around. Our Lenten study will provide just that. And if you need daily resources, we have those as well. So sometimes it's a reminder to go deeper, to change it up, not to abandon the practice, but to go deeper, to reconnect. And we might need to do some things differently. The prophet says that when you're fasting, you're simply serving your own interests. Can you imagine people who thought everything was the way it should be? Would they receive this word with any kind of openness? Likely not. So is it possible that we're in some ways blind to our own state? That we are perhaps carriers of a deadly virus that could end in death, spiritual death, if we don't do something about it? It's a very sort of dramatic statement, but I wonder if in some way we need to wake up as well. The prophet says, you know what? You are oppressing all your workers on your fast day. You quarrel and fight and strike each other with a wicked fist. Such fasting won't be heard on high. As if to say your whole religious practice needs restoration, not just a tweaking, but the whole matrix needs to be restored, renewed, fulfilled. And then he shifts gears. Is it simply to humble yourselves? Is that the fast I choose, God says, to bow down and like a bull rush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? From the outside, it looks good. It looks orthodox, but the heart is not there. Is this not the fast I choose? And then the prophet comes with the real thing, like the real thing, true religion. Is it not to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke? And the thongs were the leather straps that tied the slave to the yoke or the beast of burden. To let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is not the fast I choose to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Need, even within your own family, people were turning away from and acting as though nothing was wrong. If you do this, if you do the real thing, not a fake religion, not a pseudo-religion, not just a surface religion, then your light shall break forth like the dawn, your healing shall spring up quickly, then your vindicator will go before you, then the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard, a reference to the Exodus, the nation leaving Egypt. And there was a rear guard giving them security and peace. Then the glory of the Lord will go before you, and you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." So what about us? Are we needing to be restored to sort of a true practice of faith? And if we've never really grasped the faith, well, this is it. This is it. In James, it says, pure and undefiled religion is to help orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And so if we're practicing something else, let's go for, how about 2.0? You know, distribution 2.0, the new and improved version or example of faith, and we have that in and through Jesus. I wonder, is it possible that our human intrapersonal systems within ourselves, referring to the individual mind or spirit, could they experience the same slowdown, the same interruption of practice because of a virus? I'm sitting in front of my computer waiting so long for it to function that it's just causing problems. But of course, these intrapersonal issues are much deeper. I asked one of our resident computer helpers, Victor Monash, about this. And he said, oh yeah, just, you don't have to be a bad user. You can just be going about your business on your computer and you accrue what he called cookie crumbs. To visit certain websites, they put cookies on your computer. There's pages of data, he says, that just sort of accrete and slow things down, clog things up. And he told me about how these things are cached in my computer, and it takes processing time to work through this stuff to get to the place you want. It's like a stack of papers on your counter. You want the hydro bill, but you have to go through all this other stuff to find the hydro bill. You waste energy and focus. Could that be in our own human heart? Could there be something that we need cleared so that we can function in freedom, in joy? We prayed a prayer that is akin to allowing someone to have password privileges on your computer. Have you ever done that? It's a vulnerable place because you think, gee, where have I been on this computer? What are they going to see? What are they going to uncover in sort of the deeper workings of my computer? Will I be embarrassed in any way? Would I be? And so we pray this prayer, Almighty God, to you all hearts are open. Lord, all hard drives are open. All passwords are given up. From you, no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Defragment our hard drive. Get rid of the cookie crumbs, all the accreted junk in our systems, so that we can, what? So that we can perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Have you ever sat down after having your computer serviced and you reboot it and it works? It works the way it used to? And you go, all right. Well, what about human beings? That we would be restored to a freedom, a joy, and a peace. The collect prayer got me thinking about this. Merciful Lord, grant to your faithful people pardon and peace, that we may be cleansed from all our sins and serve you with a quiet mind. To serve God with a quiet mind. Does that sound good? To live with a quiet mind when anxiety is epidemic. Responding to people's anxiety is big business today. And what might God have for us that we might serve God with a quiet mind? To love him perfectly. That doesn't mean we don't fail, but it's a fullness. It's a wholehearted commitment. It's God filling in the deficiencies because our desire is to be in relationship with God. And to love God and love neighbor. I believe this collect is analogous to our situation with our internal human system. The deep recesses of our heart. I believe that's the locus, biblical locus of our operating system, is our heart. And how many of us are unaware that we're living with an inhibited operating system? We have issues. And we need help. And I wonder how much of the anxiety of our age is due to this creeping, debilitating malady. The psalmist in the psalm today said, ruin and misery mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So as if to say there's no relationship at all. They don't even think about God. And God is the Prince of Peace. Come to us in Jesus Christ. A peace that we say and Scripture tells us surpasses all understanding, and one that'll sit guard in our hearts and minds. That's not to say that we don't close our eyes at night and then wake up and go, oh man. I call it the march of the 10,000 things. Do you ever do that? For me, it's about 2:20. I wake up and I go, I didn't call so-and-so today. And then it's, oh no. And then it's, have you ever had those? And there's more and more and more. There's no getting back to sleep until I do something to bring that peace again and to give those things to God and to acknowledge my shortcomings. Sometimes I'm successful, sometimes I'm not. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have a corrupted operating system. That's how I read it. And then are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's like we all have a friendly computer nerd. That's what my father-in-law calls his guy, who comes and straightens his computer out after he gets it totally messed up. His computer nerd makes a house call. I don't even know his real name. And he straightens everything out, and my father-in-law can go back online and have his portal into the world again. We have that in the person of Jesus Christ, who will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's promise. 1 John 1:9 is a promise I just tuck in when I don't feel worthy. I just go, no, God is faithful and just. God is faithful and just. And will forgive me my sin, has forgiven me my sin, and has cleansed me from all unrighteousness. So now there's a righteousness that's been made known apart from keeping the rules. We're no longer called to keep the rules. Not as a way of salvation, because we have Jesus, who is a friend and our Savior, who is Lord, and yet comes to us very graciously and gently. And so if we're blind to the fact that we need God, and I believe many are, I am as well, the depth of my poverty, and this is not just about slagging myself or no, there's so much beauty and goodness, but to be fully functioning, fully free, we need to be clean. We need to be restored. Happy are they who fear the Lord, the psalmist says, and have great delight in God's commandments. How can we get to that place if we aren't there now? Paul says, I decided to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's as though someone has found the cause and the remedy of the coronavirus. Do you think they'd be talking about anything else? No. They would come with nothing else other than the remedy. And that's what Paul's doing. This is the way of salvation. This is the way out of this mess. This is the way to peace, to live with a quiet mind. It's through Jesus. Whether you're 3 months old, 30 years old, or 99 years old, it's true for the human experience. Paul says it's with a demonstration of power. It's not just through human words. And to live the kind of true religion that Isaiah called for and James calls for is got to be the Holy Spirit. Motivating, empowering, restoring, rebooting us for service. Holy Spirit is the software that not only searches the human hard drive, but searches the deep things of God. That's one of the things I liked about the movie The Matrix. I know it's an old movie now, but I love the way that they went into the deep recesses of The Matrix in that sort of spaceship thing. Do you know what I mean? It was like a submarine. Like the deep things. They were penetrating the deep things. And I just sense that there are deep things of God that we can penetrate and have access to, that we do have access to through the Spirit of God. And that we can be in harmony with God in our hearts and minds. I think that's what's being offered here. The light has come and we're called to be enlightened as we submit our lives to Jesus Christ and are saved and are baptized, united with him in his death and so raised with him in his new life. We are light. We are enlightened by Jesus and we're to let it shine before others. You don't light a lamp and then put a cover over it. It's crazy. But we're to let it shine before others that others might see our good deeds, which flow naturally out of this realigned life. This spirit-empowered life, this life that is about true religion. And so I believe the readings today are about sort of, you know, life 2.0, to describe a new and improved version as God brings a renewed operating system into our hearts. He says he didn't come to abolish it, but he came to fulfill it, to restore it. And I believe that has been made known to us in Jesus. I offer this for your consideration. And as we prayed the prayer that we've opened up our hard drive, we've opened up ourselves to God, and that we would trust that God is loving and just. And anything God might find there, God won't be surprised, because he loves us. I'd like to offer a prayer. God, first of all, I pray that my heart would be right, and that I wouldn't just stand here and say easy words, but that I'd submit my hard drive, my matrix, my whole being to not only your scrutiny, but your restoration and reformation. So I pray that for anyone here who is struggling, who perhaps is aware now in a way they perhaps weren't, that they too have a need. So show us the way. Thank you for Jesus.